And greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ueni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, guten tag, half a day, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, now, go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical prison vivisection military industrial corporation in the bribocratic corruptocracy of the United States of Listeria, where basically every road leads to a mall, huh? Which means you are stuck in traffic right now, perhaps for days, which means I have your undivided attention for the next hour. But don't worry, this hour is veganized for your protection, as it is almost the sixth anniversary now for Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And, you know, I wouldn't be wasting my time like this if this weren't the most important radio show on earth. I mean, I could be having a more pleasant life if I were a radio music program director like I used to be. I'd have to say it was a little more fun listening to music, deciding what music radio stations would play. Yeah, I used to be at places like 98.1 KIFM in San Diego and Jazzy 100 in Washington, D.C. And I was actually the first program director at WQCD, CD 101 in New York City, and program director at 94Q in Atlanta, and, all over the country. You know, Seattle, KNUA. Yeah, listening to music, playing music on the radio. Fun, you know, doing a vegan radio show. Well, if it weren't the most important radio show on earth, the most important show that I could possibly be doing, well, you know, I certainly wouldn't waste 6 years of my life doing it, you know. But only because going vegan is the most important thing that all of humanity can do to save itself, to save Earth herself, you know, although maybe Earth can shake us off like a, you know, like a congress of bad Republicans, you know. Actually, I wonder if we really can shake off the effects of a congress of bad Republicans, and, you know, can Earth shake us off? So, really, my question is, what did I do to deserve to be the host of a first of its kind vegan radio show like this? I was a good boy. I got good grades, and, you know, I don't know. I guess I just love animals just a little too much. So, you know, I had to stop eating them. One day it occurred to me, you know, then I became fascinated by the cult I left behind. I came from a cult of animal sacrifice where the cultists eat the sacrificed flesh. Ooh, it strikes me as such an aberrant behavior, so repulsive, yet so accepted and acceptable, and so widespread, this cult of death eaters. I mean, I can't imagine that it took me up to age 19 to realize what I was eating, you know, all that time, chomping on body parts. I mean, what was I thinking? Holy cow, I come from such a strange background, And then they wash it down with trans species mammary secretions, you know, full of blood. Yeah, it's almost like a vampire-like cult, you know. It's kind of bizarre. But I was one of them. I won a hamburger eating contest and was an unlikely candidate to pioneer vegan radio. You know, I expected myself to pioneer music radio, but vegan radio, but so fascinated I became by my former cult of animal sacrifice eaters. And by the way, it's always the animals who are doing the sacrificing, you know. But I, you know, I really wanted to try to understand this unnatural way of eating, this unnatural way of being, how the masses just swallow the unthinkable without question. You know, like, who wants death, huh? Step right up. I have a plate of death right here. Get your death. Eat death. Very strange cult, huh? But fascinating. You know, I, I never imagined that when I decided to stop eating dead animals that my future ex-mother-in-law, you know, the butcher's wife, well, she yelled at me at the time. She said, you know, you're going to die if you eat like that. But now, after being a bit of a student of vegetarianism over the years, I mean, of course she's right, I probably will die, but statistically, I believe it will be further into the future than had I continued on that diet of death. I don't know, just makes sense to me. You know, you are what you eat death, what do you get? You eat life, what do you get? And apparently it works on a planetary level too. Anyway, holy cow, or as Ronald McDumsfeld, outgoing secretary of warmongering, puts it, you know, especially when something is of paramount importance, by golly, by golly, congratulations to Rumsfeld and Sean Hannity on their honeymoon trip to Iraq. But by golly, what I've discovered as a student of vegetarianism, it's the most important thing humans can do. Meat eating is the worst thing people can do. So, you know, I guess it's worth my time to do the most important program in radio. I must admit, it was really nice getting those paychecks from Tribune Broadcasting and Gannett and Jefferson Pilot and United Broadcasting, all of the corporate media. But I guess doing the most important program in radio is more important than playing music on the radio. How frivolous that is, huh? It's not the most lucrative venture in which I have participated, though, you know. All those broadcast companies playing all those commercials, you know, generating all the money, all of that impropaganda, though, generating the money for the cartel that is McDevils and Murder King, Wendy's and Kills Jr., Kentucky Fried Chicken and Dead Lobster and Outbreak Steakhouse and Up Chuck E. Cheese and Taco Hell and... Oh, and don't get me started on Taco Hell, because here we go again. We see the cutthroat meat industry, and, you know, cutthroat literally, as, you know, every piece of meat you eat means somebody got his or her throat cut. So now we have the continuation of the cutthroat meat industry's war on vegetables. And as I, you know, reported on this program some weeks back, it started when George Bush the First, you know, impregnator of the devil's seed, that George Bush, yeah, him, and his war on broccoli and his support for pork rinds instead. He was obviously bought and sold by the pharmaceutical lobby that only profits from a sick citizenry. And of course, a diet of pork rinds virtually assures that. So as I've chronicled in the past on this radio show, you have Bush versus broccoli and pro-pork rind. Then you have the cartoon champion of spinach, Popeye, hijacked by the dead chicken selling industry, you know, just to confuse the public prior to the attack on spinach that occurred a few months back. And now, you know, the dead food company Taco Hell blames green onions. And again, I am so frustrated by the coverage that you get from the corporate media, the ABC, NNBC, CBS, Fox censorship channel that, you know, that profits from, you know, commercials for meat, followed by commercials for pharmaceuticals, followed by commercials for meat, as meat is followed by the need for pharmaceuticals, right? Or at least the illnesses. It's not the need for pharmaceuticals, but so, you know, but maybe on page 24 of an in-depth article on E. coli in the New York Slimes, maybe paragraph 692, will there be any mention of anything that might be a clue for the real source of E. coli? And, you know, I hate to say it, it's poop. E. coli comes from animal poop. It comes from the digestive tract of warm-blooded animals, and you know, when they're sliced and diced at the animal murder house at the rate that they are, I mean, it's poop flying everywhere. E. coli is you know, it's from warm-blooded animals. It's not from vegetables, and as much as they try, the flesh peddlers just, you know, they have one hell of a time keeping poop off your meat. while the animals just have one hell of a time, literally. But they try everything, acid baths, you know, whatever, and still, you know, the E. coli recalls just keep on coming. And, you know, you should visit the USDA websites, the FDA, and see the E. coli recalls chronicled associated with meat. You know, and if you read paragraph 692 regarding the spinach a few months back, you might have discovered that there were concerns over the years where the spinach was being grown about contamination from flooding, from what? Cattle waste. And, you know, I'm sorry, green onions just don't grow E. coli. You know, there has to be some sort of animal contamination. And, you know, or maybe a Taco Hell worker didn't wash his hands after using the restroom. Who knows? You know, but as of this date, tests at the suspected source of the suspected Taco Hell E. coli, green onions from Oxnard, California, those tests were negative. You know, so what was the animal source? I'd really like to know, you know, and as all the pundits are calling for an examination of our produce distribution system in the United States, you know, anyway, what can I say? You know, all I can say is I'm always happy when I can talk about poop on this radio show. You know, hey, get your poop burger. Step right up. Get your poop burger. You know, I think it's actually going to be my New Year's resolution to talk about poop a lot more on this radio show because, well, you know, after 6 years, yeah, and, you know, it's still a struggle. You know, buying airtime is expensive and the vegan market for advertising hasn't quite matured yet. And, you know, but thank goodness for the people who are there, you know, people like Follow Your Heart who give us Veganaise and our friends at Sunshine Burger and Jim Donovan with Nutru with the first vegan omega-3. You know, these people have been instrumental in keeping this program on the air as, you know, as are the people who make tax-deductible donations to support this show. And you know, just like you can, you know, but I need a constant flow of donations and more advertisers. And you know, after 6 years, I think I'm finally learning my lesson. Yeah, I'm going to just start talking more about poop, you know, a lot more. I'm going to emphasize that, yeah, vegans are number one at number two. Yeah, we had that study on the air. Vegans are number one at number two, which is a health advantage, by the way. Yeah, it's my New Year's resolution to get bigger ratings and revenues, more poop talk. Forget, you know, all these scientific studies about the benefits of veganism. I realize now where the money is. I mean, I was watching Letterman this past week. There you have Howard Stern in a Santa outfit without pants. And basically, he's built a career talking about poop. You know, he gets $100 million a year for his poop-mouthed radio show. A show and which I must say is of questionable significance. I mean, of course, he's really popular, but in terms of significance, you know, the show could disappear tomorrow and, you know, what effect would it have? But, you know, I mean, maybe he does the least significant show on radio, and he gets $500 million to do it. And paradoxically, this is the most significant program in radio, and I have to come on the air and ask you to please send $10, $20, $50, $100. You know, Well, okay, I'm going for the $500 million or some percentage thereof. You know. Many more poop stories coming up in the new year on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I can promise you that. And, you know, I think the consultants are right. You know, I used to think that that radio consultants were people who borrowed your watch to tell you the time and then they forgot to give you your watch back, you know. But I think I'm going with the advice from the new noted vegan radio consultants, Burke Heartless Abum. Ooh, what an obscure inside radio reference that is. Anyway, vegan radio consulting firm Burke Heartless Abum says, I need to lighten this thing up. If I'm going to achieve my goal, which you know is my goal.
Oh, new one. I know. And you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
So the consultants are telling me, you know, dumb it down, you know, just like, you know, what's happened at the White House, that the trend in the United States is just really dumbing it down. The consultants are telling me, you know, make it cheesy. You know, Who cares about heterocyclic amines? You know, too many syllables. So what if those are the carcinogenic substances formed when grilling chicken? You know, I mean, this show needs to be, you know, more one syllable. You know, actually more one letter, like, you know, like E. You know, something like that. You know, something more entertaining. E, entertainment. You know, more celebrity. More celebrity. You know, how about, you know, a sports segment, huh? To bring up the male ratings, you know? But, you know, I would hate to do sleaze just for the sake of sleaze, you know, like Mr. Stern does. I still feel that, I don't know, there's a commitment that I should have to the animals. People make donations. They expect an animal angle to what I'm discussing. And I just don't see how it's possible to do what the consultants want me to do. I mean, what could I possibly have to say about Nicole Richie, you know, other than, oh, you know, she's number one on PETA's worst dress list just came out. Yes, she is, for her fur-wearing cruelty, Wrong Way Richie, who doesn't seem to care about human life by driving the wrong way on the 134 freeway in Burbank. Doesn't seem to care about animal life either by wrapping her 5'1", 85-pound body in the skins of others. I don't know. What else could I talk about here? I don't know. That wasn't so bad, huh? Nicole Richie. I could do a Nicole Richie story. Maybe I like this new entertainment tabloid attitude of Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Oh, by the way, did you hear this about Pamela Anderson? And this is true from All Headline News. Pamela and Kid reportedly split over bloody hunting issue. She's an animal rights activist and he's a hunter. In fact, in an interview filed before the divorce, Kid Rock was asked if life with Pamela meant he would have to give up his bloody hobby. He said, quote, "No, I shoot the deer, she saves it," end quote. But she said, "What did you say?" That's a quote. "What did you say? That's divorce right there. You shoot anything, it's over," end quote. Well, it's over. And it probably didn't help that Kid Rock's mother wore fur to the couple's wedding aboard a yacht in Saint-Tropez in July. And, the quote on Nicole Richie from PETA, the quote, "This pelt-wearing party girl is all animal skin and bones. She's an incredible shrinking woman with the heart to match," end quote. Let's see, Ashley Olson took second place on the list. For the rest of the list, you can go to PETA.org. You know, what about Britney Spears? Yeah, she's a fur hag too. She wears fur, boo. Paris Hilton, forever obscene. What kind of billionaireess needs a paycheck from Kills Jr. for a cheap hamburger commercial like she did? What else? I'm getting a message in from the consultants. The new tabloid, Go Vegan with Bob Linden, it's working. We're up 17% approval with women 25 to 49. We do need to capture more males, though. The consultants are saying, what are you saying, guys? What? Do a sportscast. Do a sportscast. What do I know about doing a sportscast now on Go Vegan with Bob Linden? What, you have one written for me? I don't know. I don't know if I should trust you guys. There's got to be some animal angle to it. I don't know. All right. Okay. I'll give it a try, you guys. Okay. This is from the consultants. Okay. Bad news in the world of sport this week. The NBA has made the cruel, not cool decision to go back to the murdered animal skin leather ball after a stint with a synthetic ball. You know, the big, strong NBA players complained of hurting balls. That is, the synthetic balls were hurting their fingers when they were catching them. So now, unfortunately, the NBA doesn't have the balls saving animals from suffering and murder as those synthetic balls were. It has the balls that represent animal suffering. And as far as I'm concerned, seeing somebody's body being tossed through a hoop, I don't know. For me, the TV goes off when the NBA comes on. Now, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just not comfortable with the consultant's new strategy for me, okay? Just not comfortable with all this talk about balls and poop and Paris Hilton. I know that I already have the Barbie twins coming to my benefit movie screening on Saturday, January 20th. I know I have Sipes playing music that day. Sipes from the new MTV series 24/7. He's identified as Sipes the musician, but you don't hear much music on that show, but you'll hear his music on January 24th, but I'll tell you about that. The consultants are wild that I have them booked for that event, but I tell you about our... I'm just really a little more comfortable basking in the more pompous arrogance of the knowledge that this is the most important program in radio. And while perhaps everything you've heard thus far might seem counter to that, I don't know, what can you say? This is the radio show that can save the world. And since just about everyone and his grandmother, except of course George W. Bush, fear global warming as the greatest environmental threat to our globe, and since going vegan is the solution to global warming, which is the real inconvenient truth, you know, a truth even too inconvenient for Al Gore, but of course his family has been in the cattle business, so maybe he doesn't want to recognize the most inconvenient truth, but... You know, what can I tell you? Many moons ago, look for the program in the archive at goveganradio.com, where I had Noam Moore as a guest on the program. He's compiled the research that brings to our attention the much greater importance of methane in the greenhouse gas equation, much more importance than carbon. Actually, you can read about it at earthsave.org. EarthSave.org, it's right on the front page regarding the importance of methane. But my good friend Philip Steer sent me this that just came off of the UN News Service this past week, and it says, quote, rearing cattle produces more greenhouse gases than driving cars, UN report warns. So November 29th. Cattle rearing generates more global warming greenhouse gases as measured in CO2 equivalent than transportation, and smarter production methods, including improved animal diets to reduce enteric fermentation and consequent methane emissions, are urgently needed, according to a new United Nations report released today, again that November 29th of this year. Quote, livestock are one of the most significant contributors to today's most serious environmental problems, end quote. Senior UN Food and Agriculture Organization official Henning Steinfeld said, quote, urgent action is required to remedy the situation. What would urgent action be? Perhaps to go vegan? It also says here cattle rearing is also a major source of land and water degradation. According to the FAO report, livestock's long shadow, environmental issues and options, of which Mr. Steinfeld is the senior author. Quote, the environmental cost per unit of livestock production must be cut by one half just to avoid the level of damage worsening beyond its present level, end quote, it warns. When emissions from land use and land use change are included, the livestock sector accounts for 9% of CO2 deriving from non-human related activities, but produces a much larger share of even more harmful greenhouse gases. It generates 65% of human-related nitrous oxide, which has 296 times the global warming potential, GWP, of CO2. Most of this comes from manure. And it accounts for respectively 37% of all human-induced methane, 23 times as warming as CO2, which is largely produced by the digestive system of ruminants, and 64% of ammonia, which contributes significantly to acid rain. With increased prosperity, people are consuming more meat and dairy products every year, the report notes. Global meat production is projected to more than double from 229 million tons in 1999-2001 to 465 million tons in 2050, while milk output is set to climb from 580 to 1,043 million tons. The global livestock sector is growing faster than any other agricultural subsector. It's just a disaster, as you hear from the United Nations this week. Livestock now use 30% of the Earth's entire land surface, mostly permanent pasture, but also including 33% of the global arable land used to producing feed for livestock, the report notes. As forests are cleared to create new pastures, it is a major driver of deforestation, especially in Latin America, where, for example, some 70% of former forests in the Amazon have been turned over to grazing. At the same time, herds cause wide-scale degradation, with about 20% of pastures considered degraded through overgrazing, compaction, and erosion. This figure is even higher in the drylands, where inappropriate policies and inadequate livestock management contribute to advancing desertification. The livestock business is among the most damaging sectors to the Earth's increasingly scarce water resources, contributing, among other things, to water pollution from animal wastes, antibiotics and hormones, chemicals from tanneries, fertilizers, and the pesticides used to spray feed crops. Beyond improving animal diets, proposed remedies to the multiple problems include soil conservation methods, Okay, so there you have it. From the United Nations this past week. You want to save the planet, go vegan. Thanks for listening to the program dedicated to that. And you can make a tax-deductible donation so that the voice of the most important cause is on the air. You can make your donation at goveganradio.com, or you can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 40246. And again, in attempting to regain the stature of this radio show, coming up, today's guest, Dr. Gabriel Cousins. His resume is a who's who in the fields of health and peace and activism and mental health. And we will talk to Dr. Gabriel Cousins just moments from now on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Thank you for listening. Thank you for not eating or wearing animals. Please go vegan. Save the planet. You heard it here. You know, this show is supported by advertisers, so when you hear somebody advertising on this program, please patronize that wonderful company like Nutru, the people who gave us the first vegan omega-3 essential fatty acid, DHA. And Nutru is a totally vegan company. You can go to the website, Nutru.com. And Omega Zen 3 comes to us now in a liquid form. It's showing up now at Whole Foods. It's been wonderfully successful in capsule. It's the first all-vegan omega-3 DHA supplement with 300 milligrams in a once-a-day formulation, now in the liquid form. It's derived from Pacific red algae under patented process. Comes in a unique patented package called a Lingual Twist with extensive information about the product and omega-3 DHA in general. And it's wonderful. It works with other Nutru products. Go to the website, Nutru.com, and these are available at Whole Foods. Omega-3 DHA is the most important omega-3 fatty acid and has been shown to support brain and cardiovascular health. So please check it out at Whole Foods and Nutru.com. And Nutru, again, we thank Nutru for its values: ethical treatment of animals, utilization of sustainable plant sources, the vegan lifestyle, energy conservation, recycling, less dependence on petroleum, and saving the fish. Because, you know, if your fatty acid supplement is of a fish source, well, a little fishy, then you're depleting the oceans.
Now you're going to give it to people animal burgers.
And they don't have to, because they can be giving the people sunshine burgers, a much better choice. You know, we just talked about that E. coli and all of that. And sunshine burgers have been around since 1983. And now nationwide. So it's your turn to discover the delicious simplicity of organic vegan ingredients with protein-packed sunshine burgers. Protein from the sunflower, energy from the sun. Sunshine burgers are simply delicious, from really Yeah, simple ingredients like the original Sunshine Burger. Everyone loves it. We experimented on humans. We took it to schools in the LA area. The kids loved Sunshine Burgers. The original is certified organic, ground raw sunflower seeds, brown rice, carrots, herbs, and sea salt. Totally delicious. You can try the organic zesty Southwestern Sunshine Burger, ground raw sunflower seeds and brown rice and carrots and black beans and bell peppers, cilantro, garlic, jalapeno, cumin seeds, onion, sea salt. Magnifico. Look for Sunshine Burgers in the frozen foods section of your natural foods market, where you'll also find the barbecue Sunshine Burger with natural smoke flavor. No soy, no wheat, gluten-free Sunshine Burgers, protein from the sunflower kernel, also rich in fiber, potassium, iron, and vitamin E. The gourmet burger since 1983. Oven-baked, pre-cooked, heat and serve, Sunshine Burger.
Meat eaters destroy the earth.
Yes, reiterating what was just said in opening on global warming. And, you eat at a restaurant. Here, it says this right on the menu at Truly, which is a vegan restaurant in Hollywood, 5907 Hollywood Boulevard. It says, we want to make a positive and healthful contribution to society. By using products that are animal-free, we are making a statement to ourselves and others that we are conscientious eaters acting toward the greater good of all beings. And the greater good really has a greater good taste, Truly. Check it out. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Breakfast is wonderful. And everything from the pancakes, the pancakes and chicken, of course, no animal products in the chicken. Wonderful soups there. When there's a chill in the air, head on over to Truly. Great salads and sandwiches and burgers and noodle dishes and curries and all the vegan meats. And it's just a lot of fun to go over there, 5907 Hollywood Boulevard. And if you're stuck in traffic on the 101, it's right at the Hollywood Boulevard exit. Get off the road there, let traffic die down, and enjoy the food. And Truly caters, Truly delivers. Call 323-466-7958, 323-466-7958.
Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
And we continue now on the planet's first vegan radio program and commercial media. Let's see, if I were to do the resume of today's guest, who is returning for a visit, that would take up the rest of the hour. It's a virtual who's who. And in fact, he's appeared in virtually every Who's Who. It's Dr. Gabriel Cousins, and you can look at his entire resume at treeoflife.nu. Basically, MD, diplomat, American Board of Holistic Medicine, diplomat in Ayurveda, is the founder and director of the Tree of Life Foundation, Tree of Life Rejuvenation Center in Patagonia, Arizona. And he's a holistic medical doctor, licensed psychiatrist, a family therapist, homeopathic physician, expert on nutrition, best-selling author of many books, including Spiritual Nutrition, Conscientious Eating, Rainbow Green Life, Food Cuisine, Sevenfold Peace, Depression Free for Life, and on the list goes, and the accomplishments go, and the dedication to peace and community and work in Northern California in his history. And as I said, the resume would fill the rest of the hour. Welcome back, Dr. Gabriel Cousins. How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm welcome. I'm very happy to be there. The Tree of Life is a completely vegan community.
Wonderful.
And we have a vegan cafe restaurant where we think we got really some of the top food in the country, and it's really nice. But we also have vegan farming, which is very unusual, and we have an apprenticeship in vegan farming and in vegan life food nutrition. So we're really very deeply into the vegan movement. We don't use any animal products. We don't use animal fertilizer, anything.
Well, so what do you mean by vegan farming again?
That means that you're not using any animal things like bone meal, blood meal, cow manure, things like that.
Wow, that's amazing. What are you using then?
Well, we're using a variety of things, but one of the key, first of all, we use a lot of compost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but we also use a thing called EM, Effective Micronutrients. It was developed in Japan by a man named Dr. Higa. What he found is that by accident, suddenly things began to grow where he's throwing some things out, and he saw that there are 82 different nutrients. And what it does is it activates the topsoil. It brings energy to the topsoil. Because of that, using the effective EM technologies, we're able to help people convert to organic farming in 1 year without losing any crops, if you follow what I'm saying.
It's like, sure.
Often it takes 5 years to convert to organic. Here, 1 year, boom, you've converted, and there's no loss of profit.
Wow. Are you calling it veganic? Or I've heard of veganic farming, so I presume that this is the similar thing, or you're calling it vegan farming? Or?
Well, we just call it vegan farming. I mean, I haven't heard of veganic, but I've heard of it, but it's, we're not trying to make a brand name out. We're just basically saying it's a total vegan enterprise.
Because I would shop for that if I were in Whole Foods and had a choice for veganic, even as opposed to organic, which still does use animal agriculture. So they were, concerned about spinach a few months ago, even saying, well, even though it's organic, well, I don't know, but.
Right, exactly. So we've been doing this for a while. We actually have a 3-month apprenticeship in this.
Wow.
And it's kind of exciting, as well as a 3-month apprenticeship in the vegan kitchen, cafe work. And really, a lot of people who do this can go right on to get jobs. And actually, we have people in the LA area, after their vegan cafe thing, have opened up vegan cafes in the LA area.
Oh,
so,
excellent.
So it's kind of cool, but basically, we're 1,000% in the vegan. We don't use any animal, anything here.
Excellent. Any cafes we might know in the LA area that you remember off the top of your head?
Well, what do you mean? Recommend? I mean, it's hard.
You said that they've gone on to cafes in the LA area, graduates of your program? Is that what
yes,
you said?
Yes, there's been several of them, but it's hard. There's two cafes right now. Well, one is in, Redondo Beach, I think. And the other one is in Santa Monica.
Okay. All right. So this is wonderful.
A lot of people just work, get jobs and they work.
Mm-hmm.
If you follow what I'm saying.
Sure. And the website is treeoflife.nu, because I think a lot of people will be excited about learning about vegan farming and work in the kitchen like that.
But the other thing is, how many vegan truly were 100% organic. It's a place where people can just go and be. I mean, we're 1 hour from L.A., Tucson Airport. People can just fly in and take a vegan vacation.
Oh, that is excellent.
So that's the thing that a lot of people don't quite get, is we are, like, one of the few serious vegan. I mean, 100% organics, complete 100% vegan establishments. And then we have meditation, and we have yoga, and we have all those things that, make it fuller. We have a really full program, but the cornerstone is no violence.
Wonderful. Yes. And this is the time of year we were saying peace on earth, and you've been a long time peace activist. Where are you now on creating peace?
Well, we're doing a variety of things. One of them is, like, I'll be in the North Bay area for Peace 21st, which we've been doing since 1985. So we meditate for peace on the solstice and equinox. So up in Cotati, I'll be there. So where my grandchild is too, my children and so forth.
Okay.
And then
that's December 21st, and that's at 6 p.m.
7 p.m.
Is it 7 p.m.? Let's see, it's at Congregation Ner Shalom, 85 La Plaza.
Great, I didn't know you had that information. Good work.
It's spontaneity takes a lot of preparation,
Cool, so. Yeah. Cool. And then the other thing we're doing is the Peace Every Day Initiative, and that's asking people to meditate and visualize all the peace workers from all the different traditions to see themselves holding their hands around the planet, beaming love and light onto the planet. So that's another thing. And, but that's daily, whether you're by yourself or two or three friends or a whole big group. We have over 100 organizations who have, are participating.
Doing what again? How do people participate?
Meditating for peace, either in the morning at sunrise or in the evening at sunset, and then visualizing. It's a simple thing. You just become peace within yourself, and then beam that peace and love from your heart onto the planet. But visualize yourself holding hands with everybody from all the traditions, you know, all the different meditating traditions, and that's it. The Dalai Lama has endorsed it, and it's that's a big thing. We one of the other things we're doing is we're working very hard to create a whole vegan world in Israel, and we are working to create a whole to make Israel go organic. Now we're kind of in the preliminary stages, but we've had one whole community, one whole kibbutz go vegan.
Wow, that's great.
So we're teaching the vegan lifestyle, and it's catching on.
Somehow peace and vegan seem to go together with you. Is that a good assumption here?
Or? Call that an understatement. So how does it work? I mean, we can go into that. I'm going to say one more thing. Oh, we just did some teaching in Greece, as well as Marrakesh and also Lebanon before the war started. And all those people begin shifting to a vegan way, because that's part of the teaching. If you want to talk about peace, you can't talk about peace with your mouth full of meat. Okay? So we really have that. What is fascinating when we're in Greece, because they're really heavy meat eaters, is that a little bit of research, I found out that I think it's 230 days a year in the Greek Orthodox Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
They go vegan because they know that that's a better way to be. And they go vegan from Christmas to Easter, and from the beginning of July to the mid of August, the Ascension of Mary. And it's like just reminding people about their real vegan heritage. So that's 230 days out of the year. The real message is, you know, if you want to create holiness, you can't be eating flesh.
Right. So what about the other days to add up to 365?
Well, I mean, you know, you got to start somewhere.
Okay.
if I can get people to we can get people to do 230 days of vegan when all they've ever thinking about is 365 days of meat, we've made a dent.
Yes.
but the truth is we have a whole group of people now in Greece, in Athens, who are definitely becoming vegan. I mean, here's a funny story. After one lecture, this is really funny, this mother comes back and she shares a story. She says, this morning I told my child, no more milk. And she said, "And tonight I'll tell you what we're going to drink when I get the next lecture." In other words, you know, the people really want to do well. They get it. You know, it's like, okay.
Right.
You know, we're going vegan.
We know what we have to stop doing. Now, what is it that we have? Right?
Yeah, so, right, exactly.
Well, I could live on dolmas all my life, you know. I could probably I could survive on dolmas. That's a start, huh?
Yeah.
A lot of great traditional foods there. So
people are really much more open, but we have to, you know, and what one of our roles truly is breaking through. And it was hard off in Marrakesh. It's a heavy meat thing. But again, people began shifting. And in Lebanon, the same thing. You know, even they have the Muslim influence. That's a little harder, but we worked mostly with Christian Maronites, and they were much more open to getting into the farm. In fact, one of the people from Lebanon came and studied vegan farming here.
Wow.
Because he wanted to start, a vegan farming community. So people get it, and what are they getting? Well, you know, first thing is non-cruelty to animals. You know, as we know, and most of your listeners know, literally billions of animals are slaughtered each year, okay? But the second thing is it has to do with creating peace, because you're creating peace with the environment, and I believe you just finished talking about that.
So mm-hmm.
I won't go all the statistics with that, but one that I particularly like is that A vegan saves 1 acre of trees a year. That's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at the effect of the cattle raising and so forth. And then, and 1.5 million gallons of water a year. So, and that's like a whole Olympic swimming pool that you're saving. And you know we're having a water shortage, so it's like, wow, this is common sense.
Right. It's like, how can we have peace if we don't share the world, and we can't share the world eating meat, just with the statistics you're talking about?
Absolutely. The meat is a hoarding of resources. But more important, if everyone were vegan, there'd be enough food to feed the world 7 times over. I'm not saying we'd share it, but there would be enough food to feed 7 times over. That's amazing.
Mm.
So, and why is that important? Because about 40 to 60 million people starve to death each year, and according to the United Nations, 29,500 kids starve to death each day. Each day.
Mm-hmm.
That's more than all the wars and stuff that we've had for the last 150 years die each year from starvation. Third, you know, the fourth is because of health reasons. The vegan lifestyle is clearly more healthy. And our work that we point out very specifically in conscious eating, Rainbow Green Life of Cuisine, and spiritual nutrition is specific of how to eat vegan. Vegan life, a little bit vegan, is the key here. Okay, there's and be 100% successful. Mm-hmm. And that has to do with how to look at your constitution. We do stress having B12. We found a live vegan B12 out there. That's available because there is a tendency for vegans and live fooders within 6 years, 80% become B12 deficient. Let me also point out that 39% of meat eaters are B12 deficient. So the whole population is suffering from, you know, large amounts of B12 deficient. So we do ask people to have a kind of a vegan B12, you know, support system.
And where can people find out about that vegan B12?
They can get that from the Tree of Life. They can call 866-394-2520. And Gabriel's role as a physician, it's like I can't just say, you know, go vegan and not look at what are the strengths and weaknesses. B12 is a big weakness. Okay, but it's a big weakness almost for anybody now.
A big weakness for meat eaters too. You're
emphasizing. That's what I'm saying. 39%. Yeah. That's you know, not as much as a vegan or a life fooder, but it's half as much. That's plenty. 40%?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty significant statistic. So we kind of see almost everybody's got a B12 problem, unless they're really, really good. And so generally it's good for your health. You know, obviously heart disease is less, cancer is less. You know, in terms of blood type, there's been a lot of, let's say, misinformation, but there was a study studying 5,000 people. That's a big study, post-mortem. And they found if you're type A, okay, if you're type A, what happens is you die usually if you're eating a meat diet at age 61 of either cancer or heart disease on the average. If you go vegan, meaning no dairy, no eggs, okay, that's, we've got to be clear. A lot of people don't quite get it. No dairy, no eggs, no meat, then you're average age goes from 61 to 76.
Mm.
That's a huge jump in longevity. I mean, usually 1 or 2 years is a lot, but 15 years.
That's incredible.
So, type A's need to be vegan, and we advise people that. There's no evidence whatsoever contrary to Eat Right for your blood type, which is very bogus. I know people get onto this because it's simplistic, that type O's, Gabriel, here's a type O, and other people we know, many people, maybe half the people we talk to are vegans or type O's, there's no evidence at all that they need to eat meat. That was based on a very bogus concept, two concepts. That one is that the early cavemen and women were meat eaters. Well, not really. The early cavemen and women were indeed eating like chimpanzees. Was that, you know, what, 95, 98% vegan, you know? And maybe a little rat here or something, you know. But the point is, even 3.5 million years ago, they just found some skeletons of humans who apparently lived at the tree level. 3.5, and their hands were slightly curved. And again, it was very obvious that they were primarily chimpanzee diet, which is primarily vegan diet. So We have a lot of evidence with that. And then the research from Rutgers, a researcher there, a medical anthropologist, found that even people have blood types, even animals have different blood types. So everybody had different blood types. We weren't originally type O. So the whole thing is bogus.
Wow.
And that has influenced people in pretty poor way, because people use anything for an excuse until they really get successful.
Any excuse to eat meat and cheese.
Yeah.
We're talking to Dr. Gabriel Cousins. I recommend you go to his website, which is treeoflife.nu, as in nutrition, treeoflife.nu. And as we mentioned, it's Peace 21st. Is that what it is?
Yeah, this December 21st, in a week or two here.
Okay.
Next week, actually.
Yeah.
And then that will be up in Cotati, Northern California, a little north of the Bay Area.
7 p.m., we said, at 85 La Plaza in Cotati.
They should come at about 6:15, but the meditation will start at 7.
Okay. And also, you have a Spiritual Nutrition for Awakening workshop happening in San Francisco, with a lecture, Q&A, a meditation, book signing. That's December 23rd, 6 to 10 p.m., San Francisco Global Heart Spiritual Enrichment Center, and that is 2118 Hayes Street in San Francisco, 2118 Hayes Street, and it says 25 advance, 35 at the door. And again, that's December 23rd, 6 to 10 p.m. Go to treeoflife.nu. We might have another minute or two here, and if there's anything we missed that you want to cover, fine. But, you know, I'm noticing this is the time of year when it gets dark at 4:30, and you've been involved with community mental health and psychiatry, and even with the holidays, people are supposed to be happy, but there's a bit of depression going on this time of year. You have any thoughts on that?
Well, as a psychiatrist, I will tell you there's two pieces. You have the loneliness of the holidays that many people experience, you know, if they're alone. And it's really nice. You know, we have, I'm just going to go back for a second. It also happens on Thanksgiving. We had 150 people at a potluck vegan Thanksgiving, and we have a whole nice thing that goes on, because a lot of people are like, where do I go? You know, I can't eat with my family. They want turkey. I can't do this. I can't. And so one of the nicest things that I can see people doing is having little vegan dinners for people to kind of bring a sense of community unity. So that actually is very important, and that actually is very helpful to people. And that's probably the main cause. The second thing is not so much in California, but in the northern areas. You have the light deprivation syndrome, where you're not stimulating the upper neurological centers, and you can get depressed from that too. Again, in Southern California, not much of an issue, but clearly in Oregon, Alaska, it's a big issue.
Oh, I think it's an issue here. It feels like it gets dark at noon, and I'm ready to just pull the covers up over my head and just hibernate, I feel like.
Well, yeah, but the truth is the statistics show it's about 2% in Florida, California, and it's about 10% in the northern states in Alaska. It's about five times higher.
I'm the statistical aberrant once again.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah. But, you know, you're in the 2%.
Yeah, but, well...
You can do lighting. You know, you can do a full-spectrum lighting.
Mm-hmm.
In the full-spectrum lighting, you can get these things that are, like, I think it's 10,000 lux. And we do have them available at the Tree of Life Center. And then... called Otlites, OTT-LITE.
Mm-hmm.
And if you use it for about a half hour to an hour, and you don't have to look at it directly, okay? You just have to have it going near where you're kind of facing, if that makes sense.
Sure, yeah, and got it.
Has been very helpful to people, but perhaps the biggest thing is, and it's a good way to spread the vegan, is to start having the vegan... dinners for Christmas, and like we're doing Thanksgiving. That's 150 people where we are. That's a lot of people.
Wonderful.
Actually, it was 160 people. But,
excellent.
You know, where we're celebrating, but with a whole different energy of commonness, and rather than celebrating by, you know, killing.
Absolutely. Amen. On that note, we must end, and I want to thank you again, Dr. Gabriel Cousins, for being on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Really appreciate it. People can go to the website. It's treeoflife.nu, and Dr. Cousins' calendar is there, as we mentioned. A couple of engagements in Northern California, December 21st and December 23rd. Check the calendar at treeoflife.nu. Thanks for being here.
Great. Thank you. And again, come just visit us to take a vacation.
Okay.
Vegan world, man. Vegan world.
Okay. It's been 6 years. I need a vacation. You're right. So at the end of January, 6 years of Go Vegan with Bob Linden. I'm ready for a vacation.
Well, thank you for your good work, Bob.
Thanks so much, Dr. Cousins.
Take care and blessings and have a good holiday.
Thank you. You too.
A good vegan holiday.
All right. And, of course, we have a good vegan holiday if Veganaise is in the refrigerator. I tell you, I mentioned one dish on the air that I bake yams, the orange yams, for an hour at 450 degrees. And then I get the mashed potato masher and take out all of my, that it gets dark at noon frustrations on the yams. And they are mashed up. I add Veganaise, maybe a little liquid brag or some sea salt, and a shot of cayenne pepper. And it's like I invented the most amazing dish in history. So since I mentioned this, everywhere I go, people say, oh, come on over. I bought a bunch of organic yams. So time after time, people are just going wild over this dish. So it's a great holiday dish. And Veganaise comes in wonderful organic and grapeseed and the original, and it's the mayonnaise for vegans. And as the community gathers with the vegan meals over the holiday season, Veganaise is a part of it. And I want to thank Follow Your Heart, the makers of Veganaise, for making the show possible for the past 6 years. Follow Your Heart also gives us vegan gourmet cheese alternatives. They melt, so vegans can have pizza and enchiladas and don't have to want for have nachos. Don't have to want for anything. Also, chicken-free chicken from Follow Your Heart.
Don't want bird flu? Maybe you shouldn't eat birds. A chicken is a bird.
That's for sure. Okay, just want to point out the website, govegan.freelife.com. You hear a lot about Himalayan goji juice. See what it can do for you. And if it doesn't do that, you have a money-back guarantee, so check it out. Whether you drink a bottle or a case, you have a 90-day money-back guarantee. And we've talked about Sloan Kettering Hospital case studies recently. So much to read about. Just go to the website. It's govegan.freelife.com. Let's see here. Saskia, I promised, is a direct action activist living in the Bay Area. She's been with SeaShepherd.org for over 20 years, and she's been a part of the Seal Hunt campaign in the Gulf of Lawrence. And, she's trying to get involved with Sea Shepherd again and join in its next voyage. But she does have 10 New Orleans dogs, and she's fostering them. She needs people to help with the dog fostering. She could use some help with the tickets to help the Sea Shepherd. Saskia's writings will be on her website, which is compassionindeed.org. You can go there, maybe help her afford getting on the Sea Shepherd. Now's a good time to make a donation to the Sea Shepherd for fuel. Sea Shepherd out there protecting whales, out there protecting the baby seals. So help Saskia, very dedicated Bay Area activist. Oh gosh, we're running out of time. The year's last vigil for animals incarcerated and exploited in laboratory experiments at the University of California, San Francisco is December 21st, 4:30 p.m. The vigil at UCSF's Parnassus campus, 513 Parnassus Avenue in San Francisco. So please attend that if you can, and speak up for the animals. I thank you for listening. Please make a donation to support this radio show so that we can be on the air. The voice for animals. Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Make a donation at goveganradio.com or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego 92164. Thanks. Go Vegan.